Wednesday, hump day, March 29, 2023. My name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Believe the gospel, go to heaven. Amen. I want to talk to you about America's second civil war today. I've talked to you about America's second revolution, and my takeaway there was that the Christians in America would look back to the common law that our founding fathers gave us, and that they would use it. And so that the second American Revolution would be based on Christians looking to common law. If you want your country to return to its origins, and the origins of the American nation that we have is the common law, which is based on a Christian worldview, then it makes sense that the second revolution would be returning to the origin, and that would be driven by Christians. But here I want to talk about the second Civil War. America's second Civil War. Now, this is where I'm going to rival some history here. Because I don't believe that the Civil War was about slavery. I believe that that is the main story and the main reason that many people in public schools, and indeed that's the story that the government wants people to know. That's the story that America has been told, that the Civil War was about slavery. But the Civil War wasn't about slavery. Not at all. In fact, whenever Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, slavery was no longer the issue for the last 2 years of the war. What was the issue of the war? The issue of the war came down to supremacy of currency, supremacy of banks, supremacy of this commercialized, Kabbalistic, evil note nature that they're going to be controlling people's lives. In short, liberty was the issue of the Second Civil War. The South wanted to live their way, they wanted to live on their property, and they wanted to do things their way, and the North didn't want them to. Now, where this is a broad brushstroke, and of course, slavery is wrong, it's evil, it's a sin, not because of skin color, not because of nationality, but because of Genesis chapter 1, one man should not have dominion over another. That's why slavery is wrong. That's why it's a sin. And many of our founding fathers, because they believed in Jesus, believed that too. No, America's Civil War was predicated on the idea that the North wanted to impose on the South a different way of thinking, a different way of existence. And so then I think about the second Civil War. Are we in a second Civil War? I believe that we're there already. And I believe that the massacres, the slaughtering of Christians a couple days ago in Nashville, points to really the subtext of what's going on. The subtext of America's second Civil War is the rejection, or I should say the contention, the battle for Christians, the battle for Christianity. And I don't even want to say Judeo-Christian values. I've talked about that before, but I want to talk about Christianity. Now, for those people who agree with me politically, who are conservatives or are on the right, you understand that this is a Christian nation. Now, you might not be yourself a Christian. You might just want conservative government. You might just want limited government and to be left alone. Amen. God bless you. You need to believe the gospel because you're going to go to hell. At the same time, I can have, a neighborhood, I can have a friendship, a relationship, I can do business with people that disagree with me from a religious perspective. I patrolled with people who disagree with me religiously on different nationalities overseas. So you can live in peace with people that you disagree with. I would hearken to say that if you are a Christian, you will live in peace with people regardless of their beliefs because you do not want to do war. You don't want to do violence to them. This is why America is so great, is because America is built on Christian values. But this is what's under attack right now. What's under attack is the very nature, the very notion of Christian of a Christian foundation. And I want to lay this out for you if I can today. What I want to do is I want to look at the Nashville slaughtering of Christians. We're going to first take a tour to Washington, D.C. yesterday. And we're going to listen to Attorney General Merrick Garland. Now, I don't know this man's faith, but he certainly is balking at the specificity of Christianity. After Merrick Garland, we're then going to go to Benjamin Netanyahu. Then we're going to go to AOC. AOC is completely reframing. She doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. She's completely reframing the issue from the slaughtering of Christians to the fact that people don't like the fact that someone who is transgender is just doing gender expressiveness. After AOC, we're going to go to Benjamin Netanyahu, and we're going to see a Jew standing firmly for Judaism. We're going to see someone who is the Prime Minister of Israel standing firm, staunchly, to defend his faith and to be against anybody that would be considered against his faith. So we're going to see a good example of someone who is unashamedly pro-Jewish saying that we're going to defend that. And then after Benjamin Netanyahu, we're then going to take a tour around the media, and we're going to recognize how the media was so focused in the aftermath of Nashville, was so focused on the fact that the murderer had been misgendered, and they wanted to make sure that the gender was correctly communicated. Now, if you take that travel, that journey that we're going to take, and you take a step back, you recognize that the subtext there is that every single step along the way, there is an anti-Christian bias. Every single step along the way, there is a rejection of Christianity as a foundation. Now, for the people that are listening because of politics, think about how this works. Christianity is what the founding fathers believed. They gave us a constitution. If you're defending the constitution, you're defending the product of a worldview that believed in Jesus. Now, you can be an atheist, you can be a Muslim, you can be an agnostic, whatever you want to believe, but if you are a political conservative in America and you want to conserve the Constitution, you need to tip your hat to the fact that the Constitution comes from a Christian worldview. So if you live in America and you want America to be prosperous, by definition, you want America to be Christian. I believe America is post-Christian, and because it's post-Christian, now you're going to start to see, I believe, the escalation against Christianity. You're going to see it. Now, why would this be the case? Well, one, Jesus says that we're going to face trials and tribulations. I mean, the world's going to hate us because we stand and we live for him. But two, now I believe they've gotten to the point, the godless commies have sufficiently educated people, whether it's through diluted seminaries preaching a gospel that ain't really the gospel, this peace, hippie bro, Jesus, that doesn't really teach about sin and salvation from sin and the necessity of the gospel or the authority of the Bible. Now, so you've got a perversion in the church that's going on, and that's been routed through corrupt seminaries. Now you've also got all sorts of different versions of the Bible that say all sorts of crap that isn't actually in the Bible. They riff on words and they like shoehorn different doctrines in there. So now you've got like this perversion and this corruption of which Bible is the right Bible and all that kind of stuff. For your information, I read King James. I knew King James, ESV, those types of things. Didn't want to get into that debate, but now there's this amplified version and New Living Translation, all these different things. And then in politics, it's becoming less palatable for anyone to say Jesus. They might say God, but they don't say Jesus. They won't say Jesus Christ. They definitely won't say the gospel. Very few of them will. Why is that? It's because God is more politically, it's more politically correct. God could be God of the Muslims, God of the Jews, God of the Hindus. It could be God of whatever. And so if you believe in God and we're one nation under God, as long as it's ambiguous and it's not specific and we're not talking about Yahweh, we're not talking about El Gabor, we're not talking about Adonai, we're not talking about Yeshua HaMashiach. We're not talking about any of these specific names. As long as we don't talk about the specific names, but it's just a vague God, we're good to go. But you'll understand that more and more politicians are speaking less and less about God. And because they're speaking less and less about God, they don't even have to pay hat tips to the homage of, of the generic fake God, the generic, ambiguous God, the fluffy God, the God that will do whatever you want to. They don't even have to pay homage to the divine butler anymore, let alone Jesus Christ. Now, don't doubt me on this. Just because people aren't doing it doesn't mean that they are doing it on purpose. I believe that the market will create incentives. If the population in America wanted their politicians to talk about Jesus Christ, then politicians would talk about Jesus Christ because politicians would want to keep their power. But because they don't and because it's not, there's not a market for them anymore. There's not a market need for Jesus Christ, which means that there's a market need for Jesus Christ. if people aren't Christians, then they don't really care about the gospel. So they don't really care about Jesus. And this is going to be reflected by the fact that we don't talk about him. In fact, we're going to look at the media and how they covered it up, how the media's main focus on the Nashville slaughtering of Christians was really about the misgendering of the person that was doing the murdering. The media doesn't really care about Christ. Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't care about Christ. AOC doesn't care about Christ. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, doesn't care about Christ. Why does this matter? This matters because I believe that the more tyrannical our government gets, the more oppressive it becomes, the less it's going to get away from the Constitution because, by necessity, the further it's gotten away from Christ. And don't get me wrong, the Constitution and Christ are not equal. Not equal at all. But you don't get the Constitution without a belief in Jesus. The Constitution doesn't just happen. Common law doesn't just happen. It comes from people who believe in Jesus. It comes from people who believe the gospel. So I want to go into this. Let's do our first video. This is Merrick Garland being asked by Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. I think this guy's one of the funniest dudes in the Senate. Let's just watch this. Commentary follows.
Do you plan on opening a hate crime investigation for the targeting of Christians?
The FBI and ATF are both on the scene working with the local police. As of now, motive hasn't been identified, and the police chief said at his last press conference that they don't yet have reached a conclusion with respect to motive. We are certainly working full-time with them to try and determine what the motive is, and of course, motive is what determines whether it's a hate crime or not.
Now, just on the record, I hate hate crimes. I think hate crimes is stupid. I think it's a dumb category. Any crime is done because it's, first of all, a sin against God, and then it's a violation of the rights that God has given that person. So if God gives me life and you kill me, you first sin against God, and then secondly, you trespass my right. Any crime has to have a victim. So whenever there's a victim, someone has, one, sinned against God, and you don't sin against God unless you trespass his law, 1 John chapter 3. And then whenever you trespass God's law, it's because you hate him, right? It's because you're a sinner. You're in hostility towards God. So all crimes, by definition, because there's a victim and they're all trespassing God's law, they're all hate crimes. They're all about hating God. Now, here in our political system, we've done this because of this has been the way that multiculturalism has been smuggled into America. The way that multiculturalism has been smuggled into America is to create a political category here, a criminal category, a legal category, that if someone who's white does something against someone who's black, that's somehow more bad than if a white person did that same thing against another white person. And so now the hate crime is really the political covering of distinguishing between people based on superficial characteristics. Now, if you are a white person and you're motivated because you actually hate black people to do a crime against black people, you've done a crime against a black person. And the jury and the judge should take into consideration the fact that you did that because you hate the guy. Right? Like, that should be part of the consideration for the judgment. But that doesn't take away the fact that the crime was committed. A white person killing a black person because the white person hates black people is no less vicious, no less bad than someone who's a white person and kills a white person just because they killed the white person. A murder is a murder. Just because you murder them for another reason doesn't mean you did not murder them. You have to understand this. Now, whenever you would come to sentencing, you would not want hate categories, but Merrick Garland won't even recognize the fact that the murdering in Nashville, the slaughtering of Presbyterians in Nashville, was because they're Presbyterian. And Presbyterians don't support gender jumping because Presbyterians, by and large, amen, follow the Bible, and the Bible doesn't teach it. So if the Bible doesn't teach the thing that the murderer was murdering for, that the fact that she believed that she was being rejected because she's an idolater, then she's going to murder people that would call her an idolater. And the people that would call her an idolater are the people that believe the Bible. So if you believe the Bible, you're going to call people who are idolaters, idolaters, because they're denying God's image, and or they're denying God, and they're jumping what God made them. They're choosing who for themselves that they are them, that they are their God. And so from this perspective, the girl who murdered the people in Nashville are doing it because she's an idolater, and she believes that the people who she killed would be judging her for being an idolater, which would be true because she is. So she's doing it because she hates Christians. She's doing it because she hates God. And so that there is a hate crime there. But you can't have, and this is my speculation here, Merrick Garland won't say that this is a hate crime, because if he says it's a hate crime, then it affirms the fact that the motive of the murder was against Jesus. The motive of the murder was against Christians. The motive of the murder was against the Bible, and you can't do that. Because still, God bless us, we have a majority Christian country. I would imagine majority of Americans consider themselves Christians. Whether or not they're obedient or they actually believe the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection for the salvation of our sins, amen, is another issue. Actually, that's the issue. But from this perspective, if Christians figured out that there is a deliberate anti-Christian, vicious, slaughtering agenda going on behalf of idolaters who are now politically and opportunistically protected, because the effect of it is not that Merrick Garland doesn't really care about gender jumpers. Merrick Garland cares about the fact that the nuclear family is fractured. He cares about that marriage is common. He cares about the fact that if a mom and a dad have to be outside the home, then the kids are with the public schools. And if the public schools are teaching them that gender is a construct and they can jump to whatever they want to acclimate or to effectuate their sexual climax, well then, hey, there you go. Right? Like, that's a godless perspective. And so all of this godlessness comes at the direct expense of denying God's order. So you can't affirm the fact that people who affirm God's order are being targeted by people who hate God's order. Because as soon as you do that, you're going to be telling the people who believe in God, who believe in Jesus, who want to obey the Bible, who are Christians, you're going to be telling them, watch out, they're coming for you. Like, they're on the prowl. These Christians were murdered. They were sent home because to be absent the bodies, to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. These Christians went to see Jesus because this person who hates God murdered them. Because they love Jesus. And if Christians understood that, and if it was communicated like that, wow, now you know that America is to the point where the Christians, which are the foundation of the country, by the way, we're the foundation of the country, the Christians are now being targeted, which means that there's at least multiple different perspectives where Christianity is no longer common. And if you want to argue, just go to de Tocqueville's Democracy in America. The man came 50 years after the founding of the nation, and the theme that he said that made America so prosperous and great and free was the fact that Christianity was so common that it was never questioned. No one questioned Christianity in 1830s America because it was so common. And because 1830s America was the world coveted America. The world looked at America and said, we want what they got. How do we get what they got? And so the guy that came over from Europe, the French aristocrat, came here and he said, wow, America loves Jesus. That's why things are great. And he wrote about it in a book, right? So you've got that going on. Now let's go to this next issue. This is AOC talking about gender expressiveness. This is a reframe. So AOC doesn't know Jesus, so that she needs to believe the gospel. And because of that, she's now going to use a political filter that is anti-Christian from its presentment. But the effect is going to be empowering. What she's doing is she's giving a tool. She's giving a weapon. She's giving an explanation for how people can weaponize their hatred of God. See, the danger here is that most people, I should say everybody, knows God exists. And so whenever someone who denies God kills people who follow God, everyone sees it for what it is. And here's AOC. She comes out with her legion of fans because she's been boosted on Twitter. Go check that out. She's been boosted on Twitter to be given a bigger profile despite the fact that she's a moron, horse face. And now she's going to be saying it's gender expressiveness. It's not murdering of Christians. It's gender expressiveness. And anyone who disagrees is projection. Watch this.
Many of these disgusting and insinuating attacks on trans and LGBT people are actually projections of what predatory cisgender and often straight men do when left alone in the presence of women, or sometimes horribly, children. So instead of getting you to challenge the patriarchy, they're trying to get you to challenge the very gender expressiveness that challenges patriarchy. Don't get it twisted, because a lot of people attacking drag are projecting.
Yeah, she just hates Jesus. That's her issue. She hates God, and now she's equipping other people who hate God to effectuate and rationalize and be able to communicate their hatred of God. And she, you notice how she has to say, don't get it twisted. No, you're twisting the truth. The truth is, if you're so messed up in the head that you think you can jump genders, if there's people that say, hey, here's this book that says on the first chapter, God either made you man or female, right? Man or woman. This is what he made you. Here's this book. It's timeless. It's true. It's from God. It tells you how to get salvation and everlasting life. You're going to be like, no. I worship me more than that God. So I'm going to kill you. Bam, 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 bam. And whenever I kill you, you're then going to have your champion. You're going to have your Boagrius. You're going to have your AOC coming to her boosted Twitter, Instagram profile. And what's she going to say? Like, don't get it twisted. This is just gender expressiveness. Straight white cis men do this to their wives and their children all the time. How would she know that? She's not married. She don't have kids. what does she know? Right? She can. I've heard she can bartend. I don't know. I haven't been slumming in a while, so I don't know. I don't know what her skills are. But straight white cis men, that's the target. That's the target. She just told you she's afraid of straight white cis men, which is basically to say, you know, normal dudes, normal men who are the majority of America. She doesn't want them to point out the evils and the corruption of gender jumping. She doesn't want straight white men to be Christians. That's the issue. She doesn't want the bearded, combat veteran, baritone, direct, very straightforward way of thinking. Because if you do that, it's going to make it look to what they think is twisted. AOC hates people like me because I love Jesus. And I'm going to call her out on the BS. I'm going to call her out on the fact that she's evil. And I'm going to call out that she's a wicked Jezebel. She's absolutely doing that. And she's perverting things. And as she does it, she's going to say they're projecting. They're projecting. No, not projecting. I want you to know Jesus so that you don't go to hell. Because you're going to go to hell. Speaking of going to hell, when people don't believe in Jesus, they're going to go to hell. Here is a video of Piers Morgan, I don't know his faith, and Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a Jew, who I believe is a practicing Jew. Like, not a Christian, but a practicing Jew. I want to play this video because I want to show the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu is staunchly against anti-Semitism. Commentary follows.
How did you feel about Donald Trump having dinner with Kanye West and the white supremacist Nick Fuentes?
That was horrible.
Two people who dispute a lot of anti-Semitism.
I thought it was horrible, and I said so. I think it's a big mistake. It's wrong. It's wrong from every point of view.
How damaging is it when someone with Kanye West's following suddenly seems to go rogue anti-Semitic in the way that he did?
My father was a great historian, and a historian of anti-Semitism. It goes back about 2,500 years as a sort of a doctrine that keeps changing. But basically, people say there's trouble in the world. I want to blame the Jews. We have a setback here or a setback there. Blame the Jews. The communists say the Jews are the capitalists. The capitalists say the Jews are the communists. Blame the Jews. So, you know, that's a deep-seated pattern. It should not be countenance. It should not be accepted. It should be rebuked and condemned. And that's what I do. And I don't care where it comes from or from whom.
Yeah, he's not wrong in the sense that there's people who hate Jews. He's not wrong at all. He's absolutely right. There are people who hate Jews. There are people who hate Jews and who've hated Jews for thousands of years. And that's because God has used the Jews to bring us Christ. And now there's people that call themselves Jews that are still being hated on and whatnot. So he's absolutely right from that regard. I showed this clip because he is staunchly Jewish. He's staunchly in his Jewishness, and he doesn't like people going against him to the point where he will chastise President Trump for eating with Nick Fuentes and Kanye West. And so here's my point. Here is a Jew who's so staunchly Jewish that whenever Donald Trump, presumptive front runner for the Republican nomination, and I believe should win if we don't have fraudulent election, will then be chastised by, you know, the Prime Minister of Israel for eating with Nick Fuentes and Kanye West, people who say that they are anti-Semitic, to the point where Benjamin Netanyahu will tell Trump that he's wrong. Now think about that, because if Trump is in the position to ever turn on or turn off the money to Israel again, here is the Prime Minister of Israel that would want that money from Trump to be turned on and not turned off. But Benjamin Netanyahu is more than willing to risk that comment now, either A, knowing he can make up for it later, or B, Trump will forget, or maybe he's saying it now so that Biden doesn't turn off the money, who knows? But what I want to point out is the fact that he's staunchly Jew. He's staunchly Jewish. Amen. Like, he has the complete right to do that. I believe that they have the right to their sovereignty, one state, Numbers 34, borders. Amen. Amen. He needs to believe the gospel. He doesn't believe the gospel. What would happen if Christians were that staunch? What would happen if Christians who believed in Jesus were that staunch? I don't think it's good that anybody rebukes. I don't think it's good that anybody has dinner with people who hate Christians and are so obvious in their hate about Christians. I don't think that's good at all. In fact, I don't think America should be doing business or sending money or defending other nations that are hostile to Christians. What if we said that? What if that happened? That doesn't happen. If Christians were to say that, then it would be like, oh, you're just bigoted. You're narrow-minded. You're trying to use the powers of state to convert people to Christ. You're trying to do all these things. So there's a double standard here, and it's happening right in front of you. The double standard is that you can be staunchly for any religion. You can be staunchly for any position. You can be staunchly a man or then staunchly a girl. Whatever you want, just you can't be a Bible-believing Christian. You can't be a Christian. As soon as you're a Christian, you're the enemy. As soon as you believe in Jesus and you say that's the only way to heaven and you have to believe what the Bible says, now you're in it. Now you're the enemy. This is the Second Civil War. The Second Civil War is a war of omission that's trying to push Jesus to the side. That's what this is. None of these people want to go toe-to-toe with Jesus. Merrick Garland didn't want to say that they killed Christians because you can't affirm the fact that people are targeting Christians. AOC is trying to reframe to where it's now about projecting instead of just the plain truth of the fact that you're a boy, you're not a girl, you're a girl, you're not a boy. I don't hate you. I don't like the fact that you, in your mentally illness, take a gun and go kill people because they think that what you're doing is evil because it is. Like, that's not me projecting. That's me believing what the truth is. And then here you have Piers Morgan asking Benjamin Netanyahu, staunchly Jew, that says, hey, I don't like anti-Semitism. I'm going to call it out wherever. Amen. Why can't Christians do that? Why can't Christians do that? Now let's go to the media cover-up. This is the media in response to what's happening, focusing on the misgendering of stuff. Watch this.
Hale, who police say identifies as transgender. That news has already prompted some attacks against the trans community. KPRC2's Bryce Newberry picks up our coverage from here.
Demonstrators at the Texas State Capitol Monday fighting against anti-trans bills being considered by state lawmakers as news broke that the Nashville school shooter identifies as transgender.
It doesn't excuse anything that happened. I am concerned about how opposition and people who are anti-trans will try to spin this.
Concern about tweets like this from GOP Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene writing, how much hormones like testosterone and medications for mental illness was the transgender Nashville school shooter taking? Everyone can stop blaming guns now.
The comparison of they did it because they're trans is very unfair to trans people.
Andrea Segovia from the Transgender Education Network of Texas joined Monday's battle at the Capitol, fighting House Bill 1686, which would block doctors from providing gender transition health care treatment to children. Now, with another reason for the Texas trans community to be in the spotlight and at least 2 months remaining of the legislative session, advocates worry the attacks aren't over.
You can't say that because one person did something that's a characteristic or reason to be cruel to trans people.
And tonight, while facts about the Nashville shooting are still surfacing, the Human Rights Campaign says trans people are much more likely to be victims of violence rather than perpetrators, writing in a statement, regardless of the reason for this shooting, the use of violence is reprehensible, and we renew our call for common sense gun safety legislation. In the newsroom tonight, I'm Bryce Newberry, KPRC.
Yeah, a couple things. I think the person, I don't know if it's a dude or a girl. At this point, there's a lot of confusion going on. The person with the glasses that was saying you can't attribute one person doing something as a characteristic for overall, there's some truth to that, but there's also a lie to that. If the person is 100% identified and you know that person according to the decision for them to deny how God made them, then they're already not right in the head. The Bible would say that they have a reprobate mind. God has abandoned them. God has withdrawn from them because they have so thoroughly given them the finger. Well, if God has withdrawn from people so thoroughly that they've given God the finger, then they're going to do what people who do that in that position. They're going to be sinners. They're going to just completely embrace that life of sin. There's also studies out there that have said that, you know, 40% of people who try to go through that gender jumping try to commit suicide. They're not successful because they suck at it, but they're trying to kill themselves. Well, that's evil. You shouldn't want to kill yourself. You shouldn't want to kill anybody. So attributing to one person this characteristic, look at the characteristics. You don't get to be a transgender unless you've already denied God, so obvious that you're willing to chop and cut and hurt and take pills and hormone. Like, you're doing purposeful things to overcome reality. So why would I not attribute to you the fact that you would not also do other purposeful things to overcome reality? Like shoot people that you disagree with. But it's this notion that it's about, it's anti-trans. It's not anti-trans. There's nothing anti-trans about this. Trans isn't a thing. It's idolatry. It's idolatry. That's what it is. That's the Bible word. That's a Christian word. That's an American word. An American and a Christian who believes the Bible won't use the word trans, because to say trans accepts and affirms the fact that it's a thing. It's not a thing. It's a made-up thing that's now being imbued with political value, like coronavirus or variant or any of these other things that didn't exist before but now are politically valuable, that are being given value so that they can cudgel people who are on the wrong side. How about you use the word idolatry? Sin. You are an idolater. You're not a trans person. You are an idolater. That's a Bible word, and that cuts. That makes you feel horrible because it's correctly identifying your sin that you worship another god. The reason why this is important is because if the news is already going ahead and framing it as an anti-Christian, or excuse me, anti-trans thing, you notice now that Jesus isn't even part of the conversation. And now you notice that now there's a new political word that's in the political and cultural lexicon of America that not only does push Christ to the side, and so we're not using Bible words anymore, but now we're using a word that focuses on the person that has in their head that they could deny God to the point that they could do stuff that makes no sense at all. Like that's how I see it. There's other parts of this. New York Times put out something that they said they wanted to correct the gender. It says, quote, this is a tweet. There was confusion later on Monday about the gender identity of the assailant in the Nashville shooting. Officials had used she and her to refer to the suspect who, according to a social media post and a LinkedIn profile, appeared to identify as a man in recent months. Again, like, you live in clown world. Another one, USA Today, did the same thing. USA Today said police on Monday afternoon said that the shooter was a transgender man. Official had initially misidentified the gender of the shooter. Who cares about the six Christians that were killed, right? And then lastly, we're going to go to Jane Fonda, Hanoi Jane herself. You Vietnam era folks will remember this. This is her a couple weeks back, speaking about the fact that they've always had the ability to sacrifice their babies to Moloch and butcher their babies in the womb, also known colloquially as abortion. But here she's explaining that when people who want to take this right, this ability for her to butcher the baby in the womb away from her, what does she want to do? She wants to kill them. Watch this.
We have experienced many decades now of having agency over our body, of being able to determine when and how many children to have. We know what that feels like. We know what that's done for our lives. We're not going back. I don't care what the laws are. We're not going back.
I think the women will rise up.
That's the activist.
That's Jane
speaking. Yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's the truth.
Very soon.
It is the truth. We're not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous. What did you say?
Murder.
She's kidding. Wait a second. She's just kidding.
Don't say that.
You don't know. They'll pick up on that and just run with it.
Yeah, that's the worst.
She's just kidding.
Well, let me talk to you about. Let's move on and talk about Jane's activism, which is legendary.
Yeah, she's a godless woman. She hates Jesus. And this is the Second Civil War. The Second Civil War is about Christ's role in America. See, the revolution would be getting back to Jesus. The revolution would be getting back to a biblical way of thinking, back to common law, back to constitutional principles, back to a republic, back to defending your rights, back to using notices and affidavits and petitions to get remedy for your trespassed rights. That's the way that America was set up. That's our founding. Thank you, founding fathers who believed in Jesus. Amen. the second civil war that's ongoing right now is the war over Christ's role in America. Because these people hate him. These people are willing to staunchly say, I'm going to fight anti-Semitism wherever I go. Well, why can't Christians say we're going to fight anti-Christendom wherever it is? Right? And this gets down to the nature of Jesus. Christians are about grace. They're not about compelling. And the grace is not about just letting your enemies walk all over you. It's about being shrewd as a serpent and peaceful as a dove. It's about using God's wisdom applied to the situation we're in. This is where I would advocate common law action. I would advocate common law principles. But you're also always going to be able to carry a firearm. Train with your firearm. Defend your family. Localize your food supply. This is why I push Live Local. This is what we're doing at the Live Local Conference here in June 2nd and 3rd in Claremore. The link's in the description below, but you have to understand the civil war that's raging right now, it's not going to be one that's necessarily people in blue uniforms from the north versus people in gray uniforms from the south meeting in open war combat. At least not yet. It might escalate to that, but you see with the slaughtering of Nashville Christians, people aren't focusing on that. They don't want to say that because they can't. If Christians understood that they're the ones that are being attacked, if Christians understood that Christianity is the thing that's the lever here, that's the fulcrum, Christ or not Christ. And if you get that focus, everything else will fall into place. But that's absolutely what's going on. These people hate Jesus, which is why they're focusing on destroying him. Amen. Now, I want to play for you a teacher. This is a public school teacher. There are good public school teachers out there. Amen. This is one from Texas. Listen very closely to what she has to say. Commentary follows.
Okay, so today I got pulled into a check-in meeting with my administrator at school, and she had this lovely list of concerns that she wanted to bring to my attention. But my favorite amongst them is... We've noticed an intentional attempt at teaching your students about their legal and constitutional rights. That's the concern. They're concerned. Why are you concerned? Why is that a concern? Why is it a concern? Why is it a concern? Why does that concern you? Why is it a concern?
Amen. This is where I'll do a shameless pitch for the Live Local Conference. The link is in the description below. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. I'm going to be talking about common law, targeted activism. I'm going to call it common lawfare. So this is an old slide. I'll update it. But common lawfare, generational wealth. In short, we want to be talking about, and again, the link is in the description below. We want to talk about how to use the Constitution to make the government obey you. Now, you might be thinking, Jaron, the courts are against this. The politicians don't care. They just don't care what we think about. There's ways to write certain documents, to contract with them, to write obligatory or performance methods or measures in contracts, and then use the court systems to compel that contract into action. People won't recognize this because we don't think like this. What I'm doing here in Claremore, 2nd and 3rd of June, the link is in the description, is I'm going to use 2 days. You get here on Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, we will walk through this process. The end result is that people will be able to go home and use the tools and the knowledge that I give them for the low price of admission at the door, and that's just to cover the cost of the facility. I'm pocketing no cash from this thing. I want to give people the common law knowledge of how to use the knowledge that the founders intended us to have in order to go directly at these people, directly at these agencies, directly at them. And if there is a teacher in Texas getting in trouble for teaching about the Constitution and the rights, don't you think that this isn't kind of sort of the final phase of getting the constitutional principles out of America? Now, let me say one last thing here. I want to speak to the nature of my philosophy. I don't want big organizations. I don't want fanfare. I don't want to be a celebrity. I don't want to be somebody that's on top of a large organization that has walkout music and I give a speech and people are like, oh, and then there's like a thing that people can take a selfie. And like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be a dude who's just in the middle of a farm field in nowhere, Oklahoma, in a 10x12 shack, speaking into a camera while people live out their lives and use their constitutional freedoms. That's what I want to do. Excuse me. I want to point people to Jesus, and I want to use common law actions, common law remedy, to get people on individual and autonomous levels remedy. Get the government off your back. Get them out of your face. Get them to go away. How do I get this guy to go to court so that the court says, yes, Jaron, I'm going to find in favor of you. How do I do that? That's what I want to give that away. I want to give it away. I probably won't stream it because if you're not there, I don't want my words out on the internet saying this stuff. Candidly. Because, I mean, like, if you knew you just had to write three pieces of paper, because it's going to take some time to write it. But if you knew you could write one document and send it to the IRS and you're out, you don't need to go through a process. You don't need to like fill out this thing. You don't need to write a legislator. Just fill out an affidavit and send it in. Boom, done. Done. Why? Because you stand on the Constitution and you compel them to behave. You compel them. But people don't know how to do this because like this teacher is saying in Texas, they don't want you learning about the Constitution, let alone how to put it into use. I'm going to be talking about how to put it into action. Like it's applicable anywhere. Any government action that you don't like, this is going to be applicable. That's what we're going to be talking about. But people need to know that they can learn common law and apply God's wisdom. Ultimately, I see this as an evangelical opportunity. I see this as an opportunity to witness for Jesus. Because people are going to be like, oh, wow, where did this come from? How did you know this? And it's like the book of Proverbs, the book of Matthew. I learned this from the Bible. I learned this from mentors like Dave Jose. I learned this from people who love Jesus and are going to use the Constitution to crush tyranny. And we figured out how to do it. And it's not new, it's just been hidden. This is Luke 11:52. Woe to you lawyers, you have hidden the knowledge, right? Like you've hidden the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now this doesn't mean that you're going to be able to write documents and then go to heaven. I most importantly want people to come to Jesus. But I also think that right now, if seminaries are teaching a bad gospel and churches are being perverted from the inside and everyone is idolatrously focused on politics and culture and gender and government, then why not Christians come in with the word of God? Why not Christians come in with common law, maxims of law? Why don't they come in with constitutions and teach people how they independently, autonomously, they don't need to put money to the Republican Party. They don't need to champion their candidates for office. They don't need to go to the Republican Party. They don't need to go to all these other seminars and all these lectures. They can do it by the comfort of their own home. I have written these documents in this office, a 10x12 shack in the middle of a field in Claremore, Oklahoma, and they're not going to touch me. They're not going to touch me because of the truth that I'm standing on and the way that I'm compelling the decision. They won't touch me. Not because I'm awesome or I'm smart, but because if they do, they're breaking the entire law. And by doing it certain ways, by making sure that you're standing on your rights, by making sure that you're standing on the truth, they're not going to touch it. They're not going to touch it. And this isn't, it's not bravado. It's the whole system's predicated on this. And once you understand that a lot of what's going on right now is just contract action, it's just commercial activity. It's the government is contracting with the people through these statutes. And those statutes are really just contract terms. It's not actual law. It's not an actual constitution. They're contract terms. You will obey the terms of this contract. Boom, 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 boom. Once you see that, you're like, I'm not a part of that contract. I'm here on the Constitution. You obey the Constitution. And they're like, oh yeah, you're right. We do. Where'd you learn how to do that? Don't tell people their rights. Don't tell people the Constitution. Don't tell people this. Which is why we're going to tell people. it's why we're going to tell people. It's exactly that. So June 2nd and 3rd here at the Live Local Conference in Claremore, Oklahoma, we're going to be explaining all this. I'm going to be explaining all this. There's no we're. It's me. It's going to be me. I'll probably wear a hoodie. And it's going to be 2 days. And I'm just going to lay it out and walk through the place. The other thing is that if you want to support at livelocal.store, I'm going to be building off the Live Local Field Manual. This manual right here, 1.0, is the basics. This is going to be teaching you the action steps to localize all this stuff. Because from my mind, I wanted to do like basic training from the Army. What's the basics? That's the Live Local Field Manual. How to get everything back to yourself. How to get everything localized. How to localize your food supply. How to go find, recruit, train, and put into action people that you don't know but think like you, who live near you. How do you go find them? How do you go get them to be with you? How do you do those things? Live Local Field Manual 1.0. Live Local Field Manual 2.0 is going to be common lawfare, where I'm going to lay out exactly how I did this stuff, exactly by, literally by the numbers of how I did it, like step by step by step. And it's, I mean, like if you have it, like if you have this, you don't need me. You don't need me at all. It's got plenty of stuff in it. Just go execute it. Live Local Field Manual 2, same thing. And then ultimately, Live Local Field Manual 3, that's going to be legacy building. It's going to be like the victory. It's going to be like, how do you teach your kids? How do you institutionalize things that the government can't touch to build for multiple generations? We need people. We need Christians to think in multiple generations. We need to be thinking about the future in terms of time that are so far beyond our lifetime. We need to have the vision to start to lay that stuff down. That's how our founders thought. That's why we have the country we have. It's one of my criticisms that so many Christians believe that things get worse and worse and worse and worse, so they don't have the mind to think generationally. They don't, because they don't think it's going to last. They don't think they're going to be here, or their kids or their grandkids are going to be here generationally. So they don't think generationally. They think in terms of the soundbite. They think in terms of the news cycle. They think in terms of the season. They don't think in terms of how do I plan, how do I plant a tree that's going to give shade for 200 years from now. They don't think like that. So I try to think like that. That's what I want to, based on my faith, based on my reading of the scriptures, based on the fact that I believe that the gospel is going to save the world. I think generationally. I'm not trying to think, well, how does Jaron survive this market crash? I don't think like that. But the Live Local Field Manual 1.0 would be a good start to get yourself ready for that. Just wanted to point that out, that you have public school teachers trying to teach their constitutional rights to their students. And the higher ups in the public schools don't like that. The public schools from the state that are supposed to support the Constitution don't want teachers in the state schools to teach about the Constitution. Doesn't that tell you that that's probably one of the most important things to learn? That's what we're going to do. Link in the description below. Now, I've talked about America, talked about Live Local. I want to take a step back and talk about the geopolitics. I believe that China and Russia are pairing up, and they are the main drivers of destroying Western hegemony. They are the main drivers of destroying the Federal Reserve System. We've covered this before. Just wanted to talk about, here is a video from China. Here's a video from a foreign minister in China calling out United States and how the United States doesn't want to investigate the Nord Stream explosion. So the person is going to be speaking in Mandarin. I will read the Mandarin subtitles for those of you on the podcast. Go ahead. China noted that many members of the Security Council condemned the Nord Stream explosion in their statements. And some members pointed to the need to accelerate the investigation and transparency of information. This fully demonstrates that the security of the global transnational infrastructure is of serious concern, and that a comprehensive, transparent, independent international investigation is needed. The U.S. seeks to conduct so-called investigations in other developing countries, but in relation to this incident, poses a serious threat to international peace and security. They show secrecy, which is obviously double standard. We want to ask, what are you afraid of? China hopes to make progress on the relevant investigation work as soon as possible, make truth known to the whole world as soon as possible, and bring the perpetrators to justice. Right, so China's calling out America because America is probably the ones that blew it up. Now, I don't have proof of that, but I've heard that there was a naval diving team. They put some harmonic thing, and then weeks later a plane flew over, blasted the harmonics, triggered the device, and blew up the pipeline. But if the United States isn't worried about the investigation of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, the pipeline going from Russia to Germany, supplying Europe with gas. There's a look that it shows that America was interested in hurting Russia because Russia gets money from its oil sales to Europe. And if America destroyed the pipeline to Germany, then that would hurt Russia's economy, especially whenever Biden said that that would be the case if they ever invaded Ukraine. And then the Nord Stream pipeline was destroyed like a month after Ukraine was invaded by Russia. So it's very interesting. But the second thing is that China is signing a deal with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been the anchor to OPEC and the petrodollar for like 50 years. And now you've got Saudi Arabia is building a Chinese oil refinery worth $12.2 billion. Question, why would Saudi Arabia be building an oil refinery in conjunction with the Chinese, especially in Chinese yen and not the American petrodollar? Folks, the world is moving away from the Federal Reserve System. This is going to put stress on the Federal Reserve System to either move into central bank digital currencies, which I think is what they're going to try to do, or what I also think they're trying to do is to flex with the military and their current existing trade routes to bring other people and to keep people, other nations, onto their currency so they can switch over to the digital currency. I think that's what the West is trying to do. In the meantime, BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South America, those nations, they're trying to pull away and set up their own thing. So I think that's what else is going on. Here is a video about how Russia is putting its nukes in Belarus without warning America anymore. Watch this. Yeah, that was just a short little video just showing, and it was, you know, whatever. What's the Russian alphabet called? Acrylic? Cyrillic? Cyrillic, whatever, I don't know, Russian. Some alphabet from Russia is basically saying that there are nukes in Belarus and Russia is no longer going to be notifying America about those nukes. And that's in a story here that's from Zero Hedge. It's a tweet that says, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister, Russia has stopped all nuclear-related notifications to United States, including warnings about test launches. Now, the reason why this is important is that you would want the peace and stability to say, hey, you know, we're going to test nukes. Well, we don't want you testing nukes, but thank you for letting us know that you're testing us nukes. So if Russia is no longer going to tell America that they're testing nukes, that shows that there's a, you know, there's a freezing of relationships. There's a chilling of relationships. They're not close anymore. It's just one more step close to war. And if Russia is going to test nukes, America is going to be like, wait, are they testing a nuke now? Or is that a nuke attack? And that uncertainty is going to increase the fear, which would most likely trigger some type of, you know, bad decision. Escalation to Third World War is what's going on. Also, Putin is saying that the hybrid war with America is going to take a long time. Now, this hybrid war is what Russia and China and all these other people are doing right now. And that is, I believe, a geopolitical flanking of the petrodollar. This could be, you know, doing refineries with Saudi Arabia, like I just spoke to, or it's building out the Belt and Road Initiative, or it's Russia putting nukes in Belarus to offset America, not telling people about it. I read yesterday where Russia was putting tactical nukes in Belarus. I reminded you about the Fulda Gap in Germany, where America did that to prevent a land invasion of by the Soviet Union in Germany. And so if Russia is employing tactical nukes in Belarus, Russia is doing a forward defense using a limited nuke strike ability to prevent any military operations in Belarus. And so there's just an escalation. People are positioning for war. Now, one of the disadvantages for America is that we're losing allies. The Federal Reserve petrodollar system is losing client states. Another example of this is that Russia is pairing up with India and it's going to be selling India a bunch of oil for discount, for cheap, so that it can build out its supply chain. This is the rest of the world building out normalcy post-America. And so what's going on in America, what I don't want to do is I don't want to make you afraid. What I do want to do is I do want to encourage you to do your Live Local. I do want to encourage you to get your Live Local field manual number one at Live Local store, livelocal.store. But you have to understand, if America takes care of America, America will be just fine. We've got all the resources we need. We've got all the space we need. God has blessed this nation beyond our comprehension. And so if the rest of the world is doing their own thing, America will be fine. America will be just fine. This is where, and this is where I encourage people doing the common lawfare, coming to the Live Local conference, get the Live Local field manuals 1 and 2. When we do these things, we're going to have the knowledge to be able to where our family is good. Just put it this way. If you are in a private membership association, right? If you sign a PMA, if you do a PMA, the government's police powers can't touch you because you're in the private. That's it. That's anything. Anything the government would regulate can't regulate you because the government regulation is for the public. If you tell the government that you are in the private, you're no longer in the public. So any public police power regulating the public will not and cannot regulate you in the private. This is a use of common law that you can do right now, and that puts you in the private to protect you with the Constitution against your tyrannical government. You can do this despite the fact that China is building the Belt and Road Initiative in Asia. You can do this despite the fact that nukes are being put in Belarus. You can do this despite the fact that there's an oil refinery in Saudi Arabia or that Russia is selling discount oil to India. You can do that right now. And by you doing that right meow, you're protecting yourself against your oppressive tyrannical government right now. So instead of looking at the TikTok bill, these people that are wanting to do the next version of the Patriot Act, why don't you just put yourself in the private? And by doing that, if there is a violation of your rights, you use the Constitution and not the statute to smash them. That's what you do. And you learn how to write the notices. You learn how to write the affidavits. You learn how to commercialize and contract with these people to turn the screws. That's what you do. That's what you do now. And in the meantime, you localize your food supply. You figure out your left and your right. You get to know you bring the gospel to your neighbors. You homeschool your kids. You prepare generational wealth. And you do this by using the Constitution and common law. You do this by using the tools that the founders gave you because they believe in Jesus. This is applying God's wisdom to the chaos of the day. What it does not mean, is Trump going to win the Republican nomination? Trump and DeSantis, the radical left, is destroying the country. The people want to come for our guns. Stop taking the bait. This is pundit politics. Pundit politics is stupid. It doesn't have a long view. It doesn't think about generations. It doesn't talk about God's governance or God's wisdom in government. It takes the bait. It loses the center. It gives the center to anti-trans communications instead of calling people who are idolaters murderers of Christians. Assume the center. Use Bible words. Believe the Bible. Believe the gospel. Get your Live Local stuff. Do the Live Local stuff. You do this, you're going to endure. You're going to persevere because you're simplifying things to where this is the basis. This is the foundation. You don't need the fancy stuff. You don't need the big organizations. You don't need the big conferences. You don't need the big celebrities. You don't need those things. What you need is God's word. What you need is Jesus. What people need is the gospel. And whenever you figure out that you can use common law to apply God's wisdom to government to put yourself in a position where you are defended so that you can then go do that to other people, now you're cooking with Crisco. Now you're figuring out how to fight for freedom in an American way instead of a manufactured, feckless, stupid, always anxiety, always about to come, always the next thing, always the radical left is destroying the country. It's stupid. It's dumb. That's dumb. That's dumb thinking. It doesn't do anything for America. We need to stop thinking like that. We need to be smart. Amen. As always, I want to end with the gospel. Folks, you and I are sinners. Jesus died on the cross to pay our fine. His shed blood washes away that sin. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He resurrected. The first fruits of the resurrection of Jesus is Jesus Christ, which means that you have a promise, a surety, an assurance, a guarantee. The Almighty promised you, if you believe the gospel, I got you. I got you. that doesn't stop you from having cancer. It doesn't stop you from getting your heart stabbed. It doesn't stop you from getting a jab that infects you with COVID and changes your DNA. It doesn't stop you from any of that stuff. What it does, it guarantees that whenever you cross from this life, because you will die. When you cross from this life, you stand before God and He knows who you are. You don't want to meet God face to face and Him not know you. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You do not want to be not known by Him. You want Him to know you. And the way that God knows who you are is whenever you believe His gospel. Whenever He says, believe the gospel, and you say, that's right, I believe you. I believe you, God, because you are good. You are good because you came from heaven, you born of a virgin, you lived a sinless life, and you voluntarily took the cross because you loved me. You were viciously tortured, horribly convicted, traumatically ravaged and ripped apart as you were crucified. They put you in the grave and you rose from the grave to prove that you are God and everything that you said was true. I believe you. And now that you believe Him, now that you believe that gospel, He's got you. He's got you. And now that He's got you, now you get to live for Him. You get to take His message to people. You get to model the way that He would live. You get to read His Bible, so you get to learn how stupid and wrong you are. You get to do all these things because you want to do these things. Listen, folks, if someone saves me from eternal torment in hell, I'm going to read their book and I'm going to do what they say because they've saved me and they love me. And now I love them. Friends, believe the gospel. Appreciate your time. God bless you. The best way to support me is to be a monthly contributing member, please, at livelocal.store. If what I do helps, if it edifies, if it educates, if it illuminates, if it entertains, if it informs, if it equips, if it does anything like that, and you want to say thank you, one of the best ways to do that is to be my boss for a monthly membership at livelocal.store. This could be for any amount. Some people have done it for 50 cents. Other people have done it. There's some people that do it for like 75 bucks a month, which, amen, God bless you. What I'm asking is that if I contribute or add value to you in any way, the best way that you can say thank you to me is to be a member, monthly member at livelocal.store. God bless you. There's other stuff like these hats, right? These hats, this is evangelism gear. And this is at livelocal.store. They see it and they're like, what's that mean? And you're like, oh, it's the death, the burial, the resurrection. So it's evangelism opportunities to talk to people about Jesus because that's what I want. I want what Christ wants, and Christ wants the lost to be found, the lost to be saved. And that means to believe the gospel. That's what we do. That's what I want to do. The other way that you can help, and this is an initiative, is Humble Coffee, Humble Whole Bean Coffee. And this is humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee. This is air roasted coffee. 99% of coffee companies burn it. They load it up with a bunch of fake stuff. We don't burn our coffee. We don't put a bunch of fake stuff in it. It is organic. It is fair trade. It is the way that God designed it, which is to take it from the tree, put it in some water, heat it up over time, and then boom, there you go. Full palate, not bitter, completely organic, 100% awesome, air roasted, humble whole bean coffee at humblewb.coffee. God bless you, friend. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I am Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Don't quit. Go to war.